And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Arn the Cobbler and the Western Wall, was written by Ernest Kinoy.
Roni v'simchi b'atzion ki hinni vo v'shochanti v'sochech neyum Hashem.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of them, saith the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts
hath sent me unto thee. Each year at the Sabbath, these words from Zechariah are recited as the scriptural passage after the reading of the Torah in the synagogue. And each year I go home and take down the books from my shelf and read the passage and commentaries upon it. For it was my bar mitzvah text, the one I read aloud to the congregation, to prove that a 13-year-old boy in blue serge knickers was a man ready to take a man's place in the synagogue. Now the words are words of vision and promise, and my bar mitzvah memory is a happy one. But I think the deeper reason that sends me each year to my book is a story my mother told me of her father. This passage was his bar mitzvah text also in the old country. And each year when we come to this portion of the service, I remember the story of my grandfather, Rabbi David the scholar, when he was young David the student, many, many years ago. Cobbler was a busy man. Nobody in the village could ever remember seeing him without his hammer in his hand, stitching on an old boot or a harness strap.
Haven't got time for any foolishness. Idle talk won't cobble shoes.
And Arn didn't waste time. From the first glimmer of dawn till his old oil lamp sputtered out late in the evening, he sat astride his cobbler's bench, tapping away, cutting, sewing.
Arn. Arn.
Mm-hmm.
Your supper, Arn. It's getting cold.
Mm-hmm.
Arn, how am I supposed to understand you with your mouth full of nails?
Hmm? Just put it down on the bench.
Your supper? Now, Arn, you come in and eat at the table like a man.
Can't. Got to finish Reb Joseph's boots.
But your supper...
Put it down, Bronca. I can eat it between nails.
And so, every night, Arn would sit at his cobbler's bench, eating his supper between nails. A slice of radish, a spoon of potato soup. Radish, potato, and for dessert, tea. And his wife, Bronca, would stand in the kitchen door and shake her head sadly.
How can a man eat between nails? He might as well chew on the leather. Even if it's thin potato soup, a man should eat supper at the table with his children.
But Arn kept on at his bench. And in time, he became so skillful that he could nail on a pair of heels with one hand and fish the potato out of his soup with the other, all at the same time. Now, Now, it happened that one night, Arne was just finishing his supper and a pair of shoes for His Excellency the landowner's wife, all at the same time. His Excellency, the landowner's wife, was a particularly robust lady, and so Arne was swinging his hammer with a fine, round stroke, and the tap, tap, tap echoed from the rafters.
Arne!
So?
Stop hammering a minute.
Well, what's so important that I should stop work?
We've got company, Arne. Here's David, the yeshivat student.
Shalom, Reb Arne.
Arne, nails in the mouth again.
Shalom, Reb David.
Reb Arne, excuse me. Do you think you could stop hammering for just a few minutes?
Certainly, Reb David. I have to start stitching.
Well, it's a little quieter anyway.
A slice of bread, Reb David? A bowl of soup, maybe?
Well, it would be nice. Yesterday I fasted.
You fast, Reb David?
Once a week. A secret, Reb Arne. It's not so much piety, but when you don't have anything to eat, it tastes better if it's a fast.
Oh, don't apologize. I know how you students eat. Hand out at the back door, sleeping on the benches in the synagogue. 1 minute. At least we can give you a slice of bread.
Oh, thank you.
Two slices.
Well,
David, pass that glue pot.
Oh, certainly. Now, Reb Arne, I have something important to tell you. Something that we've been waiting for 1,000 years, for thousands of years.
Hmm. Thousands, huh? Pass me that awl, Reb David.
Oh, the awl? Certainly. Think, Reb Arne, think of this. Suppose in the year of the fall of the temple...
Cursed be the day.
Amen. Well, suppose on that day the Jews took one penny, one copper penny, and put it in a bank with interest.
One penny. So?
At the end of only 400 years, only 400 years after the fall, do you know how much money there would be?
No, how much?
Well, I don't know exactly. I'm a student of Torah and Talmud, not mathematics. But it would be millions.
So it would be millions. Look out.
What?
You're sitting on the ladder.
Oh, sorry.
So, now you've got millions. For what?
For what? For the land. To redeem the soil of the Holy Land for Israel. To buy back the inheritance of Moses.
Hmm. Good idea.
A good idea. Reb Arne, it's a dream. A glorious, wonderful dream. Like the prophets. Like the visions of Isaiah.
Too bad nobody invested that penny.
Ah, but if Israel had enough to redeem the land today, if all the oppressed people all over the world had a homeland, if the Holy Land of Israel was...
If Grandma had wheels, she'd be a wagon.
But that's the point, Reb Arne. On paper, the Jews didn't invest a penny, but God invested us.
No, now you're a philosopher. I don't understand.
Look, Reb Arne, how many Jews do you think there are to help redeem the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael?
Well, there's the Baron Rothschild and the Brodskys and...
No. I mean, how many poor Jews are there?
Poor Jews? Who knows? How many grains of sand on a beach?
Exactly. Now, what if all of them got together and gave just a penny a week? Why, there'd be the millions all over again.
Back to millions. I'm getting dizzy.
So I brought you a box.
Hmm?
A box.
Look, Reb David, I'm a simple man, a cobbler, but I can read the Bible. I take my turn in the synagogue reading the text. I'm as smart as the next man. But still, I don't see what a box has to do with all those millions.
It's a white box, Reb Arne, with a blue star on it. And all over the world, the Jewish people are putting them in their homes. Think, Reb Arne, boxes all over the world. And all over the world, students and teachers and pious people are going around to collect from the boxes. And all the pennies put together are going to redeem the Holy Land.
Listen, Reb David, I wouldn't want to have to stand on one foot till the pennies from my box bought a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael.
But you'll let me leave the box?
Certainly, leave the box. But, Reb David, I'm telling you the truth. The heavens could fall in before there'd be even a penny in the house of Arne the cobbler. Excuse me now, I've got a hammer.
David the student left the little blue-white Eretz box with the six-pointed star of his namesake, David the King. Arne set it on the mantel, and David went out into the streets with a warm light in his eyes, which was lucky, for the street was cold. When his rounds were done, David the student went back to the synagogue where he slept, stretched out on the wooden benches. And through the sharp cold of the night, he dreamed of the hot sun swaying palm trees of the Holy Land, a land redeemed. Thank you. the house of Arne the cobbler, the blue-white box stood on the mantel. And every time Arne looked at it, he gave an extra tap with his hammer. Till one day he hit his thumb and stopped giving extra taps. And then, some months later, just as Arne was finishing his supper with his hammer in his hand, David the student returned.
Sit down, Rev. David. A farmer paid for his boots with a few cabbages, and we still have some. I'll have a plate for you before you can sneeze.
Well, I... Thank you.
Oh, so thin, a wind could blow you to the next town.
Oh, no.
You wait, a fine plate of cabbage and a slice of bread.
Bread and cabbage. All week nothing but cabbage. Someday somebody will pay for shoes with money, and I won't know what it is.
Well, Rev. Arne, I'm back.
I see you. You're sitting on the leather again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I've come to collect from your Erzius Royal box.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out all evening after my studies collecting. Reb Arne, I've never been so excited. I have them here, all the boxes. Listen. Reb Isaac, the miller. Reb Naphtali, the merchant. Reb Herschel, the innkeeper.
I'd bite all the coins in that one.
Reb Arne. Now listen. Listen to all those boxes. There. Do you know what I hear, Reb Arne? Plows turning the fields in the Holy Land. Cities shining under the sun. And schools to study Torah all day and all night. Books, old scrolls from museums. New books, commentaries.
You hear all that, huh?
Yes. So I've come for your box. It's over here in the mantel, right? All those clinking coins in the boxes, Reb Arne. They're like the symbols in the Temple of Jerusalem. Here's your box. Now listen. Reb Arne.
So, Reb David, I'm a poor man.
Poverty is no disgrace.
It's no great honor either.
Not one penny, one copper penny for the box.
Reb David, you could turn my clothes inside out all year and shake, and nothing would clink on the floor.
Reb Arne.
Leather, glue, food for 7 children, rent to the landowner, nails. Reb David, you can't get 2 skins off one ox.
Hard times, Reb Arne.
David, all this week we ate cabbage, nothing but cabbage. Last week it was potato soup. Why? Who in the village pays the cobbler with cash? They laugh at Arne the cobbler who hammers with one hand and eats his supper with the other. They laugh at Arne who falls asleep at night on his bench with his all in one hand and a half-finished shoe in front of him. Believe me, Reb David, I don't do this for pleasure.
I'm sorry.
So go to Herschel the innkeeper for money to redeem the Holy Land.
But
go to the rich. But go to Baron Rothschild in Paris. Don't try to wring pennies out of Arne the cobbler.
But the redemption of Israel must come from all the people. The land redeemed with this money will belong to all generations forever. For the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's.
Verses. Listen, David. I'm a cobbler. My business is shoes. But don't think I don't know how important the study of Torah is. A long time ago, I wanted to be a student like you. But when I took up the cobbler's hammer, I laid down a scholar's pen for good. Holy law is not the business of shoemakers.
But
go study Torah. Study a little for me, but don't ask for a copper penny. Even in a good year, money and Arne are perfect strangers.
Reb Arne, I'll bring the box back tomorrow night. I have to report on the collection, but I'll be back tomorrow.
All right, bring back the box. But it's no use, Reb David, it's no use. Charity is a pleasure for the rich.
It's not charity, Reb Arne.
What's the difference? For one poor man, nobody has need. Now, excuse me, I've got to get back to work.
Arne worked into the night. For that week, the seller of leather would come with his account, and the landowner would call for his rent. So Arne hammered and stitched until the oil lamp sputtered and smoked black, and the shadows leaped against the low ceiling. And then gradually, the hammer fell more slowly. The tap, tap, tap became softer and softer, and Arne's head fell forward on his chest.
Can't fall asleep. Got to finish. What's that? Where am I?
The sky was blue, and the sun beat down hot and white on the hilltop, and against the sky the olive trees stood twisted and dark,
Where am I? There's no place like this in the village.
The hilltop was rocky, but the patches of grass showed a brilliant green under the hot sun. At the foot of the hill were the clustered buildings of the city. And then Arne knew.
Eretz Yisrael, the holy land of Israel. And here I am, on the cobbler, with my hammer still in my hand.
Now up from the town wound a procession. Priests in white and silver, and Levites blowing mighty music on the long silver trumpets. And then seated on a litter borne by six men, a figure of mighty majesty, a beard black as the storm cloud, a brow strong as the thunder, and eyes that flashed like the very bolt of lightning.
Solomon. Solomon, the son of David the king. Solomon the wise.
Praise be to Solomon, king of Israel. Praise be to Solomon, son of David, the sweet singer in Israel, master of the beasts of the earth and of the spirits of the air. Praise be to Solomon, the king.
Hear me, my people. On this hilltop in the holy city of Jerusalem, where I build the temple of God, here will rest the Ark of the Covenant, and here will the people of Israel worship God. And it shall be a holy place of all the people, and every soul in Israel shall say, "That is my place."
And all this time, Arne the cobbler stood on the hillside, his hammer in his hand, and marveled.
The holy temple, to be built before my very eyes. What would Reb David say to that?
And now, suddenly on the hillside, the whole of Israel was assembled. The 12 tribes, the princes, the nobles, the farmers, the warriors, the laborers, and the multitude covered the hillside. Every soul in Israel stood silent to hear the words of Solomon the king. And Arne stood silent with the rest, his hammer still in his hand.
Hear me, O Israel. Hear the order of the building of the house of the Lord. For it shall be a house built by all the people, that every soul in Israel may say, "With my hand I helped build the house of the Lord. By lot have I ordered the work, and it shall be in this manner. To the princes and rulers, the mighty pillars and the broad steps, to the priests of Aaron and to the men of Levi, the ark and the great veil to hang before it, to the merchants, the men of great wealth, the eastern wall, and to the poor, the workmen, the needy, the beggars, the western wall. So have the lots fallen by the hand of God."
And now the work on the temple of the Lord began. The rich, the princes, the rulers of Israel emptied their money boxes. They took from the ears of their wives and daughters the earrings of pearl and gold. They sold their jewels and melted down the golden plates from their tables. And with this they sent far to the forest of Lebanon for fragrant cedar wood to line the great walls and floors. They purchased the dark olive wood for the lintels of the great doors and the fine-grained cypress for the panels. And all this Arne the cobbler watched with his hammer still in his hand.
Beautiful. Never have I seen anything like this. Beautiful.
And the rich and the rulers of the land hired laborers from Tyre and Sidon, and they went among them and urged them to greater labor. So it was that the work of the princes and rulers and of the priests, the children of Aaron and the sons of Levi, was soon finished.
There is a temple worthy of the Lord. Praised be he that I, Arn the cobbler, should see this sight. Finished. Well, almost finished.
But the work of the poor went slowly, for they had no pearls and gold to hire laborers, and they could not send to far countries for precious woods and metals. So the men, the women, and the children hewed stone in the great cave of Hezekiah and formed blocks of living rock. Slowly, inch by inch, they dragged them up the steep paths of the hill. Painfully, they raised the stones one upon the other, all heaving together on the ropes. And stone by stone, the western wall rose, till finally, by the toil of their hands, the wall stood finished. And all this, Arn the cobbler watched, with his hammer still in his hand.
Finished. To think that I should see the temple of God, and standing as it did. I could die happy. And why was I found worthy?
And now all the congregation of Israel was assembled on the hill of Jerusalem before the house of the Lord. Then Solomon the wise prayed and made sacrifice, and a great mist covered the temple. And from out the mist spoke an angel of the Lord.
The house of the Lord stands perfect in its beauty. It is blessed. The divine presence will descend and rest upon it, but especially upon the western wall. For the western wall is built of the love and the labor of all the poor. And though the cedar, the cypress, and the gold is pleasing to the Lord, the toil of the needy is even more precious in his eyes, and his blessing shall be upon it. The holy presence shall never be removed from the western wall.
Then all the multitude sent up a tremendous hallelujah, and there was rejoicing on the hillside and throughout the city of Jerusalem. And Arn the cobbler stood and watched, with his hammer still in his hand. Then, in the midst of the rejoicing, suddenly a voice cried out,
"There is a stone not placed. The western wall is not finished. The temple is imperfect."
The crowd fell silent. The music was stilled. There, at the base of the western wall, was a stone, a small cornerstone, but it was out of place. The western wall was not finished. The congregation of Israel on the hillside turned slowly, and there, by the unplaced stone, by the stone that was the blemish on the western wall, the imperfection that marred the temple of the Lord, stood Arn the cobbler, with his hammer still in his hand.
The stone. The unplaced stone. I can finish it. I can finish it with my hammer. It is a small stone, just big enough for my hammer. There. I can finish the western wall. I can put the stone in place with my hammer. Arn the cobbler can help build the house of the Lord.
Arn! Reb Arn!
What? The temple?
Reb Arn, wake up!
Oh, Reb David.
You were hammering in your sleep, just sitting on the bench hammering.
Was I? It's morning?
Yes. I brought you back the blue-white box.
The box?
The Eretz Yisroel box, to redeem the Holy Land.
I was dreaming, David. I dreamt about... I can't remember.
Well, no wonder sleeping all night on that cobbler's bench. Now, if you'll allow me, Rev Arm, I'll leave the blue-white box on your mantle again.
The box,
it,
certainly.
It really isn't so important that you put money in, Rev Arm. Of course, it would be better, but the big thing is to want to help to redeem the Holy Land.
So every soul in Israel shall say, "This is my place."
What's that, Reb Arn?
I heard it somewhere. Reb David, let me ask a question. The western wall of the temple of Solomon the King. What happened to the western wall?
Why, Reb Arn, you don't know? When the enemy destroyed the holy temple, may it be rebuilt in our day, an angel of the Lord spread his wings over the western wall and guarded it from harm. Why, it stands today, Rebarn, the Wailing Wall, the western wall of our temple.
The western wall stands. Reb David, you still fast?
Twice a week.
Next week you will have company.
I don't understand.
If I fast 2 days and sell the cabbage for maybe a penny, then my Eretz Yisrael box will rattle.
Rebarn!
But that isn't all. Reb David, take off your shoes.
What?
Take off your shoes. Go ahead. There, I thought so. Holes like a fishnet. Reb David, this collecting of yours...
It's a work of blessing, Rebarn.
But even on blessings, you wear out shoes, huh? Listen, Reb David, maybe I can squeeze out a penny for the blue-white box. Maybe not. But your shoes... Reb David, let this be an extra contribution. Here. New soles. Thick, good leather. And when you walk on your rounds collecting from the blue-white boxes to redeem the Holy Land, then on the cobbler walks with you. The cobbler and the yeshiva student. What a combination. A job for Arn's hammer. We'll redeem the Holy Land, Reb David. We'll build the Western Wall.
Roni v'simchi b'asiyon, ki hinni ho, v'shochanti v'sochech neyum Hashem, v'nilevu goyim rabim Hashem.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come. And I will dwell in the midst of them, saith the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our Eternal Light drama today, Arn the Cobbler and the Western Wall, was written by Ernest Kinoy and was based on an idea suggested by the late William Z. Spiegelman. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Cadens. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Reb Arn was Martin Wolfson, and the narrator was Norman Rose. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.